Let's get right in, okay? This week's lesson is based on 1 Thessalonians 4, 9 through 12, where it says, "But concerning brotherly love, you have no need that I should write to you, for you yourselves are taught by God to love one another. And indeed you do so toward all the brethren who are in all Macedonia. But we urge you, brethren, that you increase more and more, that you also aspire to lead a quiet life, to mind your own business, and to work with your own hands as we commanded you, that you may walk properly toward those who are on the outside, and that you may lack nothing." Let's pray. Father, I thank you so much for your word. It's so practical. So many good things in these three verses for us. So I pray for my sisters and myself, Lord, that we would walk away just to encourage God again, to live in a manner that pleases you and really does create a witness to this outside world of who you are. So please just fill us this morning. Bless this time in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Okay. So I love how the Bible gives us practical application on how to live and conduct ourselves. But we're only going to see what that is if we actually slow down to really take in what we're being taught. In verses 9 through 10, Paul touches on the topic of love, and more specifically, brotherly love. What's brotherly love? That was the question that came to me. Well, it's the Greek word, you guys may know this, but it's the Greek word Philadelphia, and it's defined as love for one's fellow man, love of the brethren, fraternal love, kind of as in brothers and sisters. And it really speaks of love between those of us that are believers. I'm going to read 9 and 10 again. It says, "But concerning brotherly love, you have no need that I should write to you, for you yourselves are taught by God to love one another. And indeed you do so toward all the brethren who are in all Macedonia. But we urge you, brethren, that you increase more and more." So I looked up some verses that also have that word Philadelphia, brotherly love, and I'd like to share them with you and what they say. Romans 12:10, "Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honor giving preference to one another." Hebrews 13:1, "Let brotherly love continue." That one involves our will, let it continue. 1 Peter 1:22, "Since you've purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit in sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart." And 2 Peter 1:5 through 7 says, "But also, for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love." And I know you've heard this a lot, I have too, but whenever God gives us a command, the empowerment will be there to perform it. But I was thinking, oftentimes I'm the roadblock. And we're told in 1 Peter 1:22 that we're to love one another with sincere love, so we're not to fake it. And we're told to love one another fervently. And I don't know why that word, I wanted to know what that meant. It's a Greek word, ektenos is how it's pronounced, and it means intently, resolutely, to stretch out the hand. This is the kind of love that goes beyond words and involves our will and, like, resolute, our resolve. It is reaching out to one another with the intent to show our love. So, as believers, we're not going to be immune from broken relationships. And those can create a real struggle with loving one another. And I'm certain we all have our own personal experiences we could share on this topic. And when we're in this place, it really can drive us further away from love. And ultimately, the Lord, if we don't understand that we can bring all things to God. And I've always heard in the Greek that all means all, so that really does mean all things. And the beautiful thing about having a relationship with God is we have the comfort of knowing He already knows us. He knows what's in our heart. He knows us inside out. And so in Psalm 139, it tells us just how intimate God's knowledge of us is. In verse 2, it says, "You know my sitting down and my rising up. You understand my thought afar off." And in verse 4, it says, "For there's not a word on my tongue, but behold, O Lord, you know it altogether." There's no struggle or fallout that we can't bring before the Lord. He already knows what's in our hearts, so we don't need to hide those things from Him. And I'm thankful. I've always said I love the Apostle Paul. I'm so thankful God gave us the Apostle Paul, because Scripture really does not keep from us the real side of relationships and all that might come with them. In Acts chapter 15, Paul and Barnabas. Paul tells Barnabas he thinks they should go back and visit the brethren in the cities they'd preached in and see how these converts were doing, the church was doing. And so it's kind of like a road trip, and Barnabas was totally up for it, but he wanted to bring John Mark with them. In Acts 15:38, it says, "But Paul insisted that they should not take with them the one who had departed from them in Pamphylia and had not gone with them to do the work." Now, earlier in Acts 13:13 is where we learn that Mark departed from them and returned to Jerusalem. And because of his departure, Paul was not running to bring Mark. In Acts 15:39 through 40, it says, "Then the contention became so sharp that they parted from one another. And so Barnabas took Mark and sailed to Cyprus, but Paul chose Silas and departed, being commended by the brethren to the grace of God." It says the contention became so sharp that they parted from one another, and contention is not a little bump in the road. It's an angry dispute or heated disagreement. And the thing I really appreciate about this is that Scripture doesn't keep that truth from us. So I find encouraging in this, not that there's fallouts, because we all know there are, but that Paul and Barnabas did not allow this fallout to take them out of ministry. Far too often, a disagreement between believers will result in someone either leaving the relationship, leaving the church, or even leaving the faith altogether. We're told Barnabas took Mark and he sailed to Cyprus. Paul took Silas and went through Syria and Cilicia in a way. You know, their fallout really worked for good, because they kind of split into two companies and they covered double the ground than they would have had they stayed together. But the best part about this fallout to me is what happens in 2 Timothy chapter 4, when we get an insight that Paul was in a very low place in his life at this time. He felt very abandoned. And he even called out some of those people he felt abandoned him, Paul. But he says in verse 11, "Only Luke is with me." But then he goes on to request someone. And he says, "Get Mark and bring him with you, for he's useful to me for ministry." God bless you. Restoration really does bring tears to my eyes, because not only can it happen, but when it does, it really can create such an awesome bond. I think it's because when we failed someone and we've let them see who we can be, you are so thankful that they still love you in spite of who you are. Paul never faked it. He was completely real with where he was at. But he was never so hardened that he couldn't reconcile with someone that he felt wronged him. So how, too, can we keep the door of our hearts open to reconciliation when we might be in a situation like Paul and John Mark? Well, I think verse 10 is really where we go. We increase. You increase more and more in your love for one another. No doubt he found that to be the key for him, too. We should never, ever allow fallout to harden us and make us so jaded that we decide to close up our hearts, because we do that sometimes. It's like, we don't want to get hurt. So it's like, just put walls everywhere. John 13:35 is where Jesus says, "By this all will know that you're my disciples if you have love for one another." If the way the world's going to know we're Christians is by love for one another, what do you think is going to come under attack the most? It's going to be our love for one another. 1 John 3:14 tells us, "We know we've passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death." Now, what are some of the things that can get in the way of us loving one another? You know, slander, judgment, disrespect, disappointment, shame, abuse, fear, pride. These are just a few that came to mind, but I'm certain, you know, if I polled all of us, we could write a book, probably pages in a book, of things that have caused breakdowns in our relationships. But one of the things that I really resonated with as I was trying to go through was fear. And fear has been one of the biggest roadblocks that I've had that can really hinder me in loving someone. When I start operating in fear, I'm not walking in faith. Therefore, I'm unable to love in his love. Fear causes me to worry. Then I come up with all kinds of weird solutions to my worry. And it never ends well. 1 John 4:18 reminds us that there's no fear in love. Perfect love casts out fear because fear involves torment, and it does. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. Another roadblock that came to me was pride. Many times, my pride gets in the way of loving another person. We don't want to be walked on. We don't want to be taken advantage of or looked at as a fool. So these are real issues and attitudes that we experience and can keep us from having our heart open to love. 1 Peter 2:22-24 gives us encouragement when we suffer being treated wrongly by the example of Jesus. It says, For to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps, who committed no sin, nor was deceit found in his mouth, who, when he was reviled, did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but committed himself to him who judges righteously, who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. So when we consider Jesus, I think it's then that we realize, just like we're told, he committed himself to the one who judges righteously. You know, God saw what they did to Jesus. He sees, you know, he knows. And we can commit ourselves to him because he is the righteous judge. He'll take care of whatever causes that pain. 1 John 3:16 tells us, "By this we know love, because he laid down his life for us, and we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren." In Matthew 24, Jesus is predicting the signs of the times at the end of the age, and he says in verse 12, "And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold." So important to remember this, because we now live in a world that encourages us to be firm, be harsh, don't take anything from anyone. And forgiveness is not encouraged. You look like a fool if you forgive someone that's wronged you. May this not be so with us, and we really must endeavor to keep the bond of love. Colossians chapter 3 tells us what the new man, the believer, should look like. In verses 12 through 14, it says, "Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another and forgiving one another, if anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you must also do. But above all these, put on love, which is the bond of perfection." Now, you know, I've struggled many times with letting go of past hurts, and sometimes I'll get blindsided. And that's how the enemy works. He loves to pull us back into the hole that God pulled us out of. And He likes us to stay in unforgiveness, reminding us of the injuries we've suffered at the hand of others. But Philippians 3, 13, 14 really is key if you're struggling there. Paul says, "Brethren, I do not count myself as apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind." Okay, and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, "I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." Don't look back. Don't look back too long. Don't stay there. If you get there, get out of that. This side of heaven, you know, unfortunately, we don't have the ability to forget. I wish we did. But we do, through the Lord, have the ability to forgive. And the next admonishment Paul gives us after we're told to increase in our love is verse 11, that you may aspire to lead a quiet life, to mind your own business, and to work with your own hands as we commanded you. Now, there's a connection between these verses that you could easily miss. Increasing in our love for one another and minding our own business really do go hand in hand. Some of the most hurtful things that we have experienced or committed against others come from not minding our own business. Getting tangled up in something that has nothing to do with us can be so damaging to another person. And we really need God's wisdom and discernment here. For there will be times that God's going to call you to intervene in a situation that is not yours. But there's a very, very fine line between being helpful and being there for someone versus just being a busybody. Jude 1, 21 through 23 tells us, "Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And on some have compassion, making a distinction, but others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment defiled by the flesh." So we sometimes are called to go into a situation that's not ours and help. 1 Peter chapter 4 talks about suffering as a believer. God really doesn't let us off the hook, because we always tend to see ourselves as a martyr anytime we're in conflict. 1 Peter 4:15 says, "But let none of you suffer as a murderer, a thief, an evildoer, or as a busybody in other people's business or matters." Business. Ouch. Did you catch that busybody in other people's matters is linked to someone that suffers as a murderer, a thief, and an evildoer? And again, so much damage is done by busybodiness. Proverbs 18:8 says, "The words of a talebearer are like tasty trifles. They go down to the inmost body." Proverbs 26:17, "He who passes by and meddles in a quarrel not his own is like one who takes a dog by the ears." And the moral of that is, if you grab a dog by the ears, there's a good chance you're going to get bit. You get involved in something that doesn't involve you, you're going to get bit. Proverbs 26, 20 through 21. "Where there's no wood, the fire goes out. Where there's no talebearer, strife ceases. As charcoal is to burning coals and wood to fire, so is a contentious man to kindle strife." So the way we can guard ourselves from getting caught up in this is given to us in the last part of verse 11 in our text. It's crazy. God gives us all the tools on how to live. To work with your own hands as we commanded to you. We all need something to put our hand to that will occupy our time with things that are productive, or we're going to be guilty of stirring pots. Titus 2, 3 through 5 gives us great instruction on how our lives are to be conducted. You know, older women, likewise, that they be reverent in behavior, not slanderers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things. And they're to admonish the younger women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, homemakers, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be blasphemed. And I will say, sometimes you want out of your own situation. You like to live in somebody else's, because it's like constant. But we got to stay in our own lane. We've got plenty to do at our own houses, right? No matter what stage of life we're in, there's things we can do to occupy our minds and our time, to serve God and our families, and ultimately be a blessing. Let me see. When we get busy with what God's called us to do, we're not going to have a lot of time to be in other people's business. And it's true, when you do start investing in your own, you don't have time. And then we will fulfill the closing verse of our study this week that says that you may walk properly toward those who are on the outside and that you may lack nothing. Ephesians 5:15 tells us, "To see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil." You know, when we look at time and how quickly it goes by, we really do need to be far more selective with how we spend it. My prayer is that God would fill us today and every day with his love, that we'd increase more and more in our love for one another, that we would aspire to lead a quiet life and attend our own business so that we might be a blessing to others and will lack nothing. May we never think in our flesh we can accomplish any of this, because we can't. Simply by just staying close to Jesus, us being here in Bible study, doing those things as we learn more of him, these things are naturally going to follow. John 15:5, Jesus says, "I'm the vine, you're the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing." And I'm going to close with a quote by C.S. Lewis in his book, Mere Christianity. I love this. "Do not waste time bothering whether you love your neighbor. Act as if you did." As soon as we do this, we find one of the great secrets. When you're behaving as if you loved someone, you will presently come to love him. Let's pray. Father, I thank you so much for your word. It really is complete, and I pray for my sisters, Lord. I know in my own life, I mean, there's days it just feels like a tornado, Lord. And Father, would you fill us with love? Would you please help us to choose to love one another and to never throw in the towel, Lord? There's days we may need a break, but help us get back up, Lord, and keep trying to love each other, love our families, love our brothers and sisters, and any division that the enemy comes to try and cause, will you come and use that for good and bring us even closer together through that, Lord? Bless this time as we go into our study groups, and I pray every one of us would leave encouraged today, not beat down. If we're in a struggle in a relationship, would you heal it? Would you help us, Lord, to learn what we can do, Lord, to stay full of love and to mind our own business, God. Please help us tend to our own business. And I thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.